I'd like you to turn to Acts, the 19th chapter. I know this is a very familiar scripture, but I saw something today that I hadn't seen before. Acts chapter 19, starting in verse number 1. And it came to pass that while Apollos was at Corinth, Paul, having passed through the upper coast, came to Ephesus, and finding certain disciples, learners, people who want more of God. And he said unto them, have you received the Holy Ghost since you believed? We've talked about this so many times. What this question says is, you don't get the Holy Ghost just because you believe. He's saying, have you received the Holy Ghost since you believed? And they said unto him, we have not so much as heard whether there be any Holy Ghost. That was me walking into a Pentecostal church for the first time. I didn't know anything about the Holy Ghost. And he said unto them, unto what then were you baptized? And they said, unto John's baptism. Then said Paul, John verily baptized with the baptism of repentance, saying unto the people that they should believe on him which should come after him, that is, on Christ Jesus. Probably 99% of all denominational churches are right in this fourth verse. Just accept the Lord as your Savior. Verse 5, when they heard this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. And when Paul had laid his hands upon them, the Holy Ghost came on them, and they began to speak with tongues and prophesy. And all the men were about 12. Here's what I want to bring to your attention. They didn't have truth. They weren't filled with the Holy Ghost yet. They weren't baptized in Jesus' name. They believed in God. And I believe, beyond any doubt, that they had a great love for God. So before you can get to doctrine, before you can get to truth, before you can be filled with the Holy Ghost or baptized in Jesus' name, first of all, you have to have a love for God. And that's what brought each and every one of us into the church. We had a desire for more of God. If somebody would have simply said, hey, you need to be baptized or filled with the Holy Ghost, it probably would have sent us screaming out of the church. But it was the love of God that compelled us to want to follow the doctrine or the truth of God's word. Lord, we ask your blessing upon your word. Touch it, anoint it, bless it. Make it alive for us, O God. This truth never gets old. It is always refreshing. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. If you would also turn to Ephesians, the first chapter, starting in verse 17. Paul is saying that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. Now, he's talking to a church that's already been baptized and filled with the Holy Ghost, and he's saying, you know, what I'm asking is that God would give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that ye may know what is the hope of his calling and what the riches of glory of his inheritance in the saints. If we had a glimpse of what is to come, what God has in store for us, folks, if he would give us a revelation, an enlightenment, oh, hallelujah. Now, this is the church that was started in Acts, the 19th chapter, the men from Ephesus. When Paul prayed for 12 non-denominational believers, they were disciples of John the Baptist, Paul had a one-lesson Bible study right there on the road, and the Holy Ghost and the importance of Jesus' name baptism. Paul asked them, have you received the Holy Ghost since you believed? And the Ephesus church was the result of that meeting, started with just 12 believers. It became a great church, but later the Lord rebuked this church in Revelation, the second chapter, because they left their first love. Oh, it's so easy to start out great, and then just down the road, the same thing that brought them into the church left them. They lost their first love. Now in Ephesians 1 and 17, Paul knows they already have the Holy Ghost, but Paul is asking that God would give them the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of God. It is possible to have the Holy Ghost and not be wise or knowledgeable about Jesus. You know, people can come in and know nothing of God, walk up to the altar, start worshiping God. God can fill them with the Holy Ghost. And then some well-meaning saint said, you need to be baptized, and they don't even know why, but I'm willing because I just had this miracle happen in my life, and yet not be knowledgeable of God. It's even possible to receive God's Spirit and not be interested in God's Spirit, or come to the knowledge of God in a deeper measure because you just don't have the desire. It's like a person who gets a job and 20 years later, they're still doing the exact same thing that they started doing. They never wanted to advance or have any more responsibility on the job. They were just comfortable doing the same thing they started 20 years before. They just wanted to have the label, I am an employee of. Yet there are others who wanted advancement. They wanted promotions. They wanted pay increases, more responsibility, and learn more about the product that the company produces. Get interested in their employer. But the church is the same way. Some people are content just believing in Jesus. They stand at the entrance way of the kingdom of God, and 20 years later, they're still in the same position that they entered in at. There's an old story that I've used many times about the little boy who falls out of bed in the middle of the night, and mom comes up, and boy is crying, and she says, well, what happened? And he said, I stayed too close to where I got in. That could be detrimental to the church. We stayed too close to where we got in. Paul is saying that the church at Ephesus, you don't want to know more about God and how you can become an asset to the kingdom of God. Paul prayed that they would receive more than their initial experience in God, that they would have a greater depth, and that God would give them the spirit of wisdom and knowledge to the point where they have so much information, they want to not only share it with other people, but that knowledge consumes them and causes them to become deeper and more productive for God. And the more you learn about something or someone, the better equipped you are to become someone who will promote it. Now, I have what you call a smartphone. But you have to be smart in order to use it. You do. I've had it for a long, long time. I'm not even interested in upgrading because I don't even know what this one does. You know? I guess if I were more interested, I'd take a tutorial or get some more information or talk to somebody or get a book on dummies for iPhones. They told me that the phone can do just about anything. In fact, there's more information, more computer knowledge in this phone than there was in taking someone to the moon. There are some tricks that I've learned, you know. I can even open emails and texts now, which is good. But basically, it's just for calling and answering. It has all these capabilities and benefits all at my fingertips, but I just want to answer the phone. and just hang up sometimes. I'm still not sure where the cloud is. You know, I know it's up there someplace. Or will I ever tweet like other people tweet? We can do the same thing in the Spirit. All of the power at our fingertips. So much information in the book, but all we do is call and expect an answer. God, would you give me this? I'm waiting. Take a look at Ephesians, the third chapter. Ephesians 3 and 16. Paul's saying here that he would grant you according to the riches of his glory to be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your heart by faith, that ye, being rooted and grounded in what? In love. See, I have to keep falling in love with God. I can't keep falling in love with the church or falling in love with the saints. I mean, that's all good. But I have to continue to fall in love with God over and over. There has to be interaction with God, and we have to have some experiences with him that causes us to continue to love him. And it says, may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and the length and the depth and the height, and to know the love of Christ. Can you imagine you could be in the church, even following Acts 2 and 38, and really not know the love of Christ, which passes knowledge, that ye might be filled with all of the fullness of God, now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. Unto him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. Amen. I want to be able to comprehend with all of the saints what is the breadth, the length, the depth, and the height of God. Get deeper in God, that I might be filled with all of the fullness of God. It's a journey. Amen. Education doesn't stop because you had a moment at the altar. And when we get the Holy Ghost, we get a love awakening. All of a sudden, I don't know, but what's come over me, I just love God. I want to be in his word. I want to come to church. I want to talk to other people about God. And then that's when we open our eyes after speaking in tongues, and we don't see one hypocrite in the whole church, because the love of God just surrounds us and grips us. No flaws. The pastor is the smartest guy on the earth. And we are infused with agape love, sacrificial love for other people. You see, that's the thing that motivates us to continue to be in the doctrine and follow the power that is in the book. Not just a couple of tricks that we... I know three or four scriptures I can answer the phone and I can talk to God, but there's so much more. Amen. I'm glad we didn't trade this Bible in for I-12, you know. It was good at the beginning. It still is good. It's got power that you can imagine. When we have that kind of love, just listen to me. Then you're saying, what can I do for you, God? See, when you fall in love with your spouse, the first thing you want to do is you want to do something for them. You want to buy something for them. You want to have more conversation with them. We are so in love with God that we wait for every command. We also are in love with all of the people that are around us, because when we have the love of God, then we have the love of other people. Now, unfortunately, this may last for 15 days or maybe even 15 weeks or 15 months, and then life shows up and maybe a cold in the soul saint shows up telling you that this high just isn't going to last very long. Oh, you're in the honeymoon period, but pretty soon you'll settle down and sit down in your pew, and, you know, it just can't last. You can't live on the mountaintop. Really? Why not? I was so stupid to think that I could live up there all the time, because I surely don't want to live in the valleys. I just don't want to scrape by. Am I getting too real tonight? Am I getting to the place where, you know, well, it demands more? Some people almost make it a crime to be happy. But we should be happy in the church. Amen. The joy of the Lord is my strength. If the joy is gone, if you had to drag yourself to church, something's got to change. If we want victory in serving God, we have to be rooted in love. I love him. I love him. If not, it's just religion, people who are church junkies. There are some people who they will never be stable in one church. They're just looking for a new adventure, a new high. They'll go from church to church looking for something that's exciting, because they really never fell in love with God. If you fall in love with God, you can stay home with your spouse and be satisfied. If we're not rooted in pure love, then we will never live lust-free, and we will never stop being critical of other people and situations in our life. And it will be totally impossible to pray for our enemies, which God commands us to do, love your neighbor or love each other. 1 Timothy 1 and 5 says, now the end of the commandments is charity or love. The whole conclusion of the matter is love. Out of a pure heart and of a good conscience and of faith unfeigned. So the answer is, I just got to fall in love with him again. Amen. You know, those first few months, nobody had to tell you to be faithful. Just want to be around God. Want to be around God's people. What if I missed a service and a message came in? You know, I don't want to miss anything. The purpose of preaching is to get people to a place of that pure heart, to identify the God who loved us so much that he was willing to sacrifice his life for us, that we got to get to that same place where we love him so much that we're willing to sacrifice other things in order to be with him, with a good conscience, so we can walk in love, so that we can love people around us, not a critical spirit, but a pure heart. You cannot make people comply to the word of God. You just can't. You can't threaten them. You can't read the scriptures and say, now, listen, you've got to do that. It just won't work. If they don't fall in love with God first, over and over again, they're not going to comply to what the book says. I don't care who the preacher is. Nothing is going to make a difference except your personal involvement with God on a regular basis. I can put up 200 scriptures and people will just ignore them if they do not love God. They're convinced it's for somebody else, not for them. If we don't have a desire to change, we haven't been hit by the love of God yet, you see. A preoccupation of God, I want to be around you. The reason some are always debating and fussing whether you should comply to what the Bible says, and I'm not sure if that's really the right interpretation or what should I really follow, it's because they may love truth, they may love the church, they might even love the pastor, but Jesus wrapped it all up in one short scripture in John 14 and 15. If you love me, keep my commandments. Is this too deep for tonight? It's so simple. Now, everything that God does in our life is decided out of his love for us. Let that sink in. Everything that God does for us is decided by his love for us. And that means that when God decides to deny us something, it's because he loves us so much. So if tears run down the face or we question why this or why that, it was God's love that made the decision, and love thinketh no evil. Love is kind. I know he loves me. Our perverted concept is that love lets us have whatever we want. And that there is no restrictions to the one you love. Our children never think we love them when we have to correct them. They never understand that or restrain them from some privilege that they want, but everybody else is doing it. No, no. You see, my decision is based on my love for you. And God's decision is based on his love for us. But those concepts need to be replaced by divine revelation of God's love, how much he really loves us. And that's why Paul said, I pray that God would give you a spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of God. If we could just get more information concerning God and why he does what he does in our life, there is more to God than just giving us everything that we ask for. And yet sometimes that's the basis by which we estimate God's love for us. Did he give us this? Did he do that for us? Sometimes we need to learn how to fellowship the silence of God. Be still and know that I'm God. And just know that I love you, even though you didn't get a response from me immediately or you didn't even feel my presence on Sunday. It doesn't mean that he doesn't love us. If you don't understand the love nature of God, you'll start second-guessing your walk with God. If you're not convinced wholly that when you were filled with the Holy Ghost, baptized in Jesus' name, and became a part of the body of Christ, if you don't understand that that was all based in love, well, you'll get to that place where you're questioning your walk with God. Maybe I'm not saved. Maybe God doesn't love me anymore. You see, God wants us to be rooted and grounded in love. It's love. You know, I know there's the denominational world that says just accept the Lord, he loves you, and that's it, you're saved. No, it's not enough. If you love me, you'll keep my commandments. You'll do what is in the book, you see. If you love your spouse, you can still go through hard times and know that you're loved. I've spent the last 32 years trying to root this church in truth and doctrine. and you hear doctrine every time I stand behind this pulpit, and that's all good, but perhaps I should have been teaching more about love that will keep you in the doctrine, that'll keep you in the truth, because you can be rooted and grounded in doctrine and truth and still have a nasty spirit. I know what the Bible says. Or we can have an unforgiving attitude towards something or somebody. Thank God we have song services before the preaching. Because it brings the love meter up, you see. And then once the love meter is up, then it's easier to receive the truth, doctrine, because God's love is displayed to us before the doctrine is present. And that's what happened in the 19th chapter of Acts. There were 12 disciples. They wanted more of God. Now, Paul said, have you received the Holy Ghost since you believed? And are you kidding? I don't need the Holy Ghost. My pastor, John the Baptist, told us all we had to do is, no, if you love, you want as much of God as you can possibly get. Hallelujah. If I didn't first feel the love of God in those first church services, truth would have hit me in the face and caused me to run out of here. But it was love that embraced me, the feeling of God's presence that said, you know, there must be more for me. I need to look into the instruction book. Maybe there's more application here. I need first to feel the love of God inviting me to accept more truth. And that's evident throughout the entire Bible. In John, the fourth chapter, Jesus goes down to meet this woman at the well. He sends all of his disciples away because he knows that they would be critical to the situation that he's about to encounter. We see how Jesus approaches a woman who desperately needs God. Isn't it great the way God can read your heart and your mind and your situation? First, he asks her to give him a drink, and then he offers her living water and said, go call thy husband, knowing very well she doesn't have a husband. She answers, I have no husband. Jesus said, thou hast said well, for thou hast had five husbands, and he whom thou now hast is not thy husband. Now, I don't believe that Jesus said this in order to hurt her feelings. But I believe he hurt for her. Understanding that her life was full of hurts from past relationships, and now he wanted to do something about the hurt that she had, and for her to experience real love, not just a relationship, a one-night stand. Not condemning, but persuading her to reach out for a relationship with him. And this woman is like so many people in this world today, beat up and battered because of disappointments and past hurts. And they are looking first for God's love before they can ever receive more truth. That's why we cannot just deliver doctrine to people. We cannot give them truth. Somehow, they have to see some kind of love of God within us before they ever want more truth. You know, it takes time to develop a relationship with people. And most of the people that I've ever brought into the church, I had to develop a friendship with those people and gain their trust before they could ever receive anything from me. Now, that may take a long time, or maybe it could take 10 or 12 weeks in a Bible study where they recognize that you really care about me. I want to know more about your life, your family. What are you doing? And the fact of the matter is there are so many people who never, ever get those questions asked in their life because so many people are so involved in themselves and not in other people. We are all recipients and storehouses of God's love. And like I said earlier, we are on display. We're the most valuable thing on the face of the earth. And every time we walk out of the house, we are on display for the rest of the world. The Holy Ghost is a lot more than just talking in tongues. It is the divine nature of God. So if you're filled with the Holy Ghost, you're baptized in Jesus' name, you also have to have the divine nature of God trying to relieve some hurt in somebody else. God can identify it for you, and somehow you come to reconcile them to God, showing them the love of God within you first. I taught a Bible study in my office 40 years ago. What happened was this. There was a man who was in the church. He worked in a shop, and there was a guy who seemed to be interested in God, and so he felt he wasn't qualified to talk to him. So he said, "Hey, can I bring him over to the house and you could talk to him?" So I said, "Sure. Is he open?" He said, "Yeah." So he came over to the house, spent about 45 minutes, maybe an hour, talking about the goodness of God. He was so overwhelmed. He went home, talked to his wife, called me, and said, "Could I bring my wife over? And could you say the same thing to her?" And we did. And then I started this Bible study in my office after work on a Monday night, I guess it was. After about 5 lessons, we went out for a bite to eat. They got out of the car with us and said, "Can we just hug you too?" It wasn't that they loved us, but they felt the love of God in us. I remember teaching a Bible study in my house once, and after the first lesson, there was this lady, and the tears were streaming down her face, and she said, "Can I just hug you?" What she was saying is, "How can I get a hold of God right now?" It's the love of God. It's the most powerful thing that we have going for us. Yes, doctrine is important, but doctrine without love will be ineffective. Hallelujah. Glory to God. I have to have this new nature. I want His Spirit to convict me of wrong and infuse me with His supernatural love. And in John 13 and 35, Jesus said, "By this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, if you have love one of another." I just don't want to live too far away from my first experience. It was more than the evidence of receiving the Holy Ghost. His love changed me into something I didn't even want to be. He took out the stony heart and put a heart of flesh in me and caused me to want to walk in His statutes. And His love still changes me. You walk in here and you don't think that things are changing in your life? It's the love of God that embraces you every time you're here and you take on the nature of God. Because things go wrong in our life. And we develop attitudes. But we get this bear hug from God every time we walk in here. And he's saying, hey, I can see the hurts. I understand. Want a drink? It'll change you. Would you stand with me? Perhaps we should make that a priority in every service. I need more of your love, God. Knowledge, vital. But knowledge without love. The Spirit gives life, but the latter killeth. And I wonder how many people haven't responded to the message because it was a letter rather than the Spirit. The altar is open. Would you come?